Not off. Talking with you, this is Howard Hughes. And so in this world of turmoil to the world of technology, Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, live to BBC Radio Berkshire. How are you, Fevzi? Are you there? Is anybody there? One not here. Do you look for Fevzi?
Oh,
you are there. Thank goodness. Don't cause me heart-stopping moments like that, Fevzi.
I spoke, but I was not heard.
Oh, boy. Now, big story I was reading about, funnily enough, last night on the BBC News. This was to do with a ruling about a man who claimed that his benign tumour, I believe, was caused by mobile phone technology.
That's right. So an Italian court in Ivrea agreed that a man's brain tumour was linked to his mobile phone use, and it awarded him €500 a month in compensation. He'd claimed that he'd been using his, and the important bit is his business mobile phone, for 3 or 4 hours a day over a 15-year period, and that cumulatively that he believed it had led to the growth of his tumour. So the money is not being paid by mobile phone companies. It's being paid by a body that's set up in Italy to compensate people for work-based injuries, hence why it's important as a business vote. They haven't sued the mobile phone companies yet, and the mobile phone companies have, I believe, learnt the lesson of the tobacco companies that were seriously hit when their product was found to be harmful. If you buy a mobile phone now, no one reads it, but there are very daunting warnings in the packaging that comes with a mobile phone. And if most people were to read it, they probably would put the phone back and send it away.
But am I right in saying, Fevzi, that there has been no definitive research yet? I know there was a big study in Switzerland a couple of years ago that actually says mobile phones may have these deleterious effects.
No, there's no definite finding. There's some research that's yet to be peer-reviewed that was done by the National Toxicology Program in America that found an incidence of brain and heart tumours in male rats that were exposed to up to 9 hours a day for 2 years. So, but that hasn't been peer-reviewed. That hasn't been checked by other scientists. If you look, for example, at the advice that the British government give, it, for example, tells us to minimise our exposure, and particularly the exposure that our children have, because our children have thinner skulls than we have because they're still developing. So, my feeling on this is it's unlikely to be found to do you good. So I would also take a precautionary approach and minimise your use. And what does that mean? So, for example, most mobile phones have speakerphone built into them. You could, under some circumstances, put the phone on the table slightly away from you and speak to it, you know, at a distance.
Now, what about using a little in-the-ear earbuds headset? Now, I tend to do that, but there are people who say that simply conducts the radiation more efficiently to your ears.
Yeah, so again, the jury is out on that. If you use a wired headset, you're right. Some people say that it conducts energy in through the wire. If you use a Bluetooth headset, then, you know, again, you're subject to waves, albeit at low. They're lower intensity, but they're closer to you. So we just don't know. So the best thing is minimize your use of the mobile phone. If you still have one of those arcane things called a landline, then use it. If you can set up your computer, so when you're at your desktop, you can make calls either via Skype, and you can get subscriptions via Skype and other services where you can ring landlines and mobiles as well.
It's called Skype. Well, I mean, there are many services who do this, but it's called Skype to phone, isn't it?
Yeah. But also, there a lot of the mobile phone companies give you the ability to use your minutes via other devices, including desktop computers. So, for example, I can use my unlimited minutes, make calls via my PC, and when you receive my call, it still looks like it's coming from my mobile number. So check that out. Check out if there are ways that you can reduce your use. As you say, not proven, but I think that it would be wise, until we know for sure, to just minimise your use.
Okay, we can't belabor this, but we've got to say that there are very high frequencies involved here. 4G, even higher frequencies than 3G. 5G will be even higher than that. And if you think that high frequency radiation is what cooks food in your microwave, but we've got to park that there. French election, Fevzi. And talk about fake news. Now, that should be no real surprise to us. We saw what happened in America, didn't we, with Mr. Trump?
No, but we have some data on this. So there's a group I didn't even know existed called the Computational Propaganda Project at Oxford Internet Institute. And they've been tracking Twitter bots, which masquerade as real people on Twitter and spread fake news. And they have been found to be increasingly active in the French election. They've found that in mid-March, March that for every two links that went to professionally produced news, one went to other content such as extreme propaganda or deliberate false reporting. So to give you an example, it was found that there were claims that one of the candidates was being funded by Al-Qaeda. Another said that Marie Le Pen had won a TV debate, which she had not. Another was they took the far left candidate and put a Rolex on his wrist using Photoshop or some other thing.
And all of this stuff is subliminally very dangerous. And that's why organisations like the BBC do the public a great service by fact-checking.
And you get an uptick of this, and we saw this in the States, in the last week when it's possibly too late to even debunk some of this stuff before people vote, there's a real spike. And that report that said one in three links was suspect was in mid-March, and you can only imagine that that's going to get worse beforehand. And there are people, by the way, including an American congressman who's claimed that even our Brexit vote was subject to some of this.
Well, you know, you're going to hear all of those claims, and I guess you might even start hearing them about our election. I say that in a totally balanced and impartial way, but it's, you know, I haven't heard anybody say it, but who knows. Credit card. We've got a minute to do this. Credit card with a fingerprint sensor has been released.
Yeah, so this is a second factor of security. So the card itself has got the sensor in it. It doesn't have a battery. It takes the power from the credit card terminal. The waves coming from the credit card terminal energize the card enough for you to use a fingerprint. It's not, in my view, it's not to be used as a sole means, an alternative to your PIN number, but as a second factor, as a second line of defense. It's an excellent idea. And of course, we already see something similar to this in things like Apple Pay and Android Pay and Samsung Pay.
And it's interesting, they're trialing this in South Africa, which is a country that until recently was one of the few still to be requiring you, when you purchase things by credit card, to sign.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. So they've trialled it, two successful trials in South Africa, and now it's being launched over here by MasterCard.
Right, we're out of time. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. We can save it till next week. Thank you, Fevzi. If people want to shoot the breeze technologically with you, where do they go?
Come and say hello on Twitter. At okay. Gadget Detective. Don't you be sending me any fake news, but other than that, I'd be delighted to hear from you.
No fake news here, Fevzi. Thank you very much for doing this. Fevzi Turkup is the Gadget Detective.